All right. How's everybody doing? Good. You know, when Pastor asks you to teach, you know, you always usually try to say yes, and that's a good thing. But it's a real bummer when you don't really know what you're going to talk about for a long time. Because then you start to wonder, gosh, because I'm one of those type of people that I'd just rather sit down if I'm not supposed to teach what God has. I'd rather sit down and listen to somebody that has it. But last night, God gave something to me. Thank God for that, because I was about ready to tell Pastor Cook, you got it. So I was last minute putting everything together, but that's all right. God's good, right? Yeah. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for the anointing that is upon the word of God. Father God, no matter who delivers it, the vessel that you use, Father God, as they're yielding into your Holy Spirit, Father God, you deliver exactly what the people need. Father, I thank you and praise you for your word. For your word is what changes us, makes us better, causes us to grow. For your word is the source of everything that we need in our lives. Father, we just thank you and praise you right now that your word will take precedence in this service. That, Father God, your word is what will come forth and not some person's opinion of what should be said, but, Father God, your word by the Holy Spirit that has the ability to affect people's hearts. Not only affect them, Father, but to move them in a direction closer to you. Father, I don't take it lightly, the position I have here today, Father. As I said, I'd rather sit down if it wasn't of you, Father, but I believe you put something on my heart, Father, so I pray right now in Jesus' name that what I share, Father God, comes forth in clarity and simplicity and is easy to understand by the smallest in this room to the largest or the oldest, Father God, and the most wise. Father God, we just thank you and praise you again for your word and for the Holy Spirit here among us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I'm going to start by just kind of rehashing. About a month ago, I taught Sunday morning, and I wanted to just pick up kind of where we left off. I touched on a subject, and I wasn't getting anything from God. I just wasn't really getting clarity. But then last night I was just mulling over things in my heart, and I just feel like the Lord wanted me to emphasize some areas that we touched on in the last couple services that I taught. And especially in one area where I believe it's important that we have keen understanding, or we have the ability to recognize in and of ourselves where we're at. I think it's so valuable when we think correctly of ourselves. I think it's so valuable when we have the correct estimation of who we are. So I'm going to start by just reviewing. How many of you guys were here last time I taught? Quite a few? Okay, good. Well, we're not going to spend a ton of time reviewing, but I want to cover. I talked about the four pillars for your Christian walk, or the four areas, or the four corners of the foundation, however you want to look at it. But I said four pillars for your Christian walk. And what was pillar number one? Does anybody remember? Salvation. You have a new nature. God has given you a new nature. That's the first thing. That's the first step to indoctrination in anything that's God. You got to get saved. Because if you don't get saved, if you don't have a new nature, then you really truly don't have the capacity nor the ability to truly understand the nature of God. You can understand about Him. You can learn about Him. You can study Him. You can even begin to implement some of the principles of the kingdom of God into your life, and that truly will have success, because God's principles bring success. But unless you're truly born again, you truly cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless your nature is changed from the inside, you can't truly express the nature of God to the outside world. There's a lot of people that serve God through religion, and it's sad. I thank God that I know God through the nature that He's deposited in me. Because in that nature, I have the capacity to do the things God's called me to do. In that nature, I have the capacity or the ability to go beyond where my natural world or my natural abilities can take me. In that nature, I have the ability to move in realms that are unspeakable or even unimaginable for this world system. You know, I have a firm belief that... how many of you guys have ever heard the story of the Tower of Babel? Okay, I have a firm belief that God looked into the capacity of humanity. And He looked into the capacity of a fallen humanity. And He said to Himself, if I allow this humanity to continue down the road they're going, there's nothing that will be impossible to them. I believe when God spread the people across the world and confused them, He did it for the purpose of maintaining a realm of innocence within humanity so they wouldn't understand truly what they're capable of. See, I believe that the new nature, the Spirit of Christ that's in me, I believe that Spirit has untappable, unimaginable potential. I believe I can go further than I possibly could otherwise. I believe I can do more things through that nature that's on the inside of me, through Christ in me that strengthens me, than you could even possibly think or imagine. So pillar number one is you have to be saved. You've got to be born again. I can understand God. I can know God through my intellect. I can even quote the Bible verbatim, verse by verse. I can tell you exactly where things are at. But that doesn't make me any better than just the simple little person that just got saved. Because what makes me better is that I'm walking out what this book is about. Not that I know it. So number one pillar, you have to be saved. Number two, when you got saved, God did something really cool. He gave us somebody that can help us. So number two pillar, what is it? The Holy Spirit is your teacher and mentor. When God decided to come down in the form of Jesus Christ, He expressed Himself to this world. We talked about that. He expressed Himself to the world. He showed the world what He's all about. He showed the world what He's all about. But when He left, then now who shows us what Jesus is all about? There's only two things, or three, thank God for what we have written here, but in the early church they didn't have that. They had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the New Testament in the form we do. And they don't have the canon of this Bible like we do, in such abundance like we do in America especially. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. But what's another area, what's another way God can express Himself to this world? The Holy Spirit. What's another way that God can express Himself to this world? Through us. Truly born again, saved Christians. We can express God to this world. And that's ultimately what God wants. The Holy Spirit's job isn't to do our job. The Holy Spirit is to help us. He's our teacher. He's our mentor. But our job is to do our job. His job is to do His job. And I thank God for times when we have service and it's blowout and you know it's thick and the Holy Spirit's here and He's moving upon the hearts of people. But He does that for a purpose. To grab our attention. To make us wake up. To get us realizing who Christ is in us. And then we move from that service and we go to Monday and we go to Tuesday and the effect of it begins to wear off. But what carries on is what God's able to deposit in us permanently, forever, in our new nature. The Holy Spirit is the number one teacher and mentor of our innermost being. He's the one that's there to bring Christ out of us. He's to declare Christ to us. So when we read the Bible, we see not just words on a page. We see Christ. When we read the Old Testament and the shadows and the types, we don't see just some mind-blowing weird thing. We see how He was painting a picture of the Messiah that was to come. The sad thing is religion continually misses the mark. Just like the Jewish nation missed the mark. And I don't mean to be rude, but they missed the mark. Because the very types and shadows they were given the responsibility to carry on in the earth, they missed the very person casting the shadow. Because they weren't tuned into the Holy Spirit, who was also given to them in the Old Testament, who was given in the New Testament, who was given at the time of Christ. To anyone that would believe, the Holy Spirit is there to guide you and teach you. To anyone that will listen. The number three pillar that we talked about, when the Holy Spirit comes, what does He do? He teaches you about Christ's nature, which is love. The Holy Spirit's whole job is to bring forth the nature of Christ, which is Christ's love. And the number four thing we talked about is that love serves others. See, I believe that, you know, I told you guys this last time when I taught, I want you to pay attention with a simplicity in your heart. Don't try to make it complex. It's real simple. I believe the gospel is very simple. And I thank God that He's been able to express it to me in ways I can understand it simply. Because when I start to listen to people teach on the tabernacle and the all the elements that they did and all this stuff, you know what? The Bible becomes very complex to me. Sometimes I think those are great things, and I love studying I love to study the Bible. And I love to learn about things in the Bible. But I do not want to learn about no tabernacle and no elements and no this without understanding truly what they represented. Because I'm not about studying God in the shadow or in the type. I'm about studying Jesus Christ as if He's standing right in front of me. And then when I can look at the Old Testament, I can see the types and the shadows, I can say, wow, that is so amazing. How even back then, God was proclaiming what He was going to do in the earth. So simplicity is where I'm about. And I just want to bring about simple things. Simple things. So four basic things you need to understand. And I believe, my personal opinion, and I haven't found anything else. Now, if there's a fifth, so be it. But I think if you study the Bible with the context of those four basic things in the mind, that God basically always is talking about Christ and what He was going to do to bring us a new nature. And the act of the Holy Spirit was always to bring about an understanding of who Christ was. And the Old Testament talked about a lot of commandments. The Ten Commandments are great. But I love what the New Testament says about the Ten Commandments, and I love what Jesus Himself said about them. He said that the Ten Commandments, all the commandments, every commandment that could possibly be given by God to humanity is summed up in two. Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, all the Ten Commandments, all the law is summed up in two. Why can Jesus be so simple? Because you got to understand, He was talking to the Jews who were responsible for the full law and all the rites and all the rituals and all the things they had to do to make sure they did it just right so that the priest didn't walk in there and get slain by God because he walked in unpure. All the altars and the purities and all these things, all the things that were done in the Old Testament. Jesus simplifies it really quick and He says, everything you've ever done in the Old Testament, every possible thing you've ever thought about doing, everything that's written, everything that's ever been communicated to this humanity is summed up in two things. You can't get no more simple than that. And you got to imagine what the religious mind does is it blocks that and it says, I don't comprehend it because I got to do A, B, C, D, D, F, G, H. I got to do all this. In fact, by the time I was 13 in the Jewish nation, I had to learn the entire first six books of the Bible. And I had to learn them and commit them to memory. But did that memory help me? That's the bottom line. Did it mean anything? Did it have any changing effect upon my heart? If me memorizing this word does anything, it better be committed to what my nature has the capacity to carry out. I love the fact of memorizing the Word of God. I love the fact of confessing the Word of God. I love the fact of all the things we do, even in our Christian culture, that teach us to do what certain things to make sure we get our healing, to make sure. But you can confess all day long until you get the revelation of what you're confessing, you won't receive it. What is confession? It's taking your mind and taking your soul and committing it to what is true. Till you get to the point where you believe it, you accept it, you receive it. So I say confess. But I say further than that, confess with the understanding that you're saying things that are true and you want to truly, truly believe them. Not just say them, but believe them. So those four simple things are very important to understand. It's the foundation, I believe, for what we're going to say today. Because you've got to be saved. But I'm even going to back up a little further and talk about things I've talked about in the past with this church. But I think they're important. More important than it is equally as important that we understand God's nature as it is we understand who we are. In other words, if I understand God's nature, what He's done for me, but I cannot fix where I'm at, if He can't get a hold of me and make me understand what I need to do today to change, what I need to do today to make a difference in my life, then what good is it to understand the nature we have? See, if I understand the nature that God's given me, that's great. But I got to understand that God gave me that nature to move me in a direction. God gave me the nature that He gave me so that I can move in a direction. So I can move in a direction. What direction would He want me to move into? It's simple. He wants me to move in the direction of where Christ is standing. Okay? So if God gave me a nature which has the ability to perform the righteousness of God and all the Ten Commandments and all the law, He wants me to begin to move in that direction, does He not? So I would ask you, what hinders us from moving in that direction much of the time? Well, there's a lot of things that hinder us. It's very complicated because there's many things in this room that would hinder us from moving in that direction. It will be different for Dino and different for Pastor Cook and different for Ted and different for Donna and different for Tammy and Jerry and everybody else. It'll be different. There are different things that keep us from moving in the direction that Christ is. See, I see that as complex. Because you can come to me at the altar and you can say, John, I'm having this problem. I'm having this difficulty. I'm having this. I'm having that. And that's legitimate. You're going through it right now at this time. But it's 100 different things in this room for various people. And if I were to sit here and try to express to you what God has for you corporately so that every one of us is on the same playing field, what would that be? What could I possibly communicate to you that would help you to understand where God wants you to be? See, the only way I could really counsel you each individually would be to sit you down across from a table or right here and just talk to you. What's going on in your life? Well, there's no way that I have the time to do that, is there? There's no way Pastor Jan has the ability to do that with every single person. Because he would have to sit down with me every single day. Because I got some major issues I got to work through. You know, my thinking's not always right. Amen? He would have to sit down. There's no way he doesn't have the time. Thank God we got other people we love and can meet and talk with. But I want to talk about what God does for you. What does God do for you every day? How does He help you? Go to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, let's just actually start right at verse 2. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want to back up just a little bit and tell you that prior to this verse right here, can anybody tell me what does God cover in Romans? If you were to have to pick out one thing that he was focusing on, what does he cover? And he covered a lot of things. But what one thing? It was one of the pillars. Your new nature. Okay, so prior to this, he covered all that. Okay? He also talked about the Holy Spirit and his job in Romans chapter 8. But let's look here. Verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." How many of you guys want to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life? I mean, how many of you guys want to go into the bad, the ugly, and the worst will for... No? Me neither. I'd rather know about the good and acceptable. What God has for me that's good, what's acceptable, and what's perfect. Perfect's better than good. Acceptable's okay, but I'd rather have perfect. Wouldn't you? See, so we're talking about how God can minister to you daily. How God can tell you where you're at. Because we want to know what the good and acceptable. Remember, he's laid the foundation. We have a new nature that has the capacity to accept, to receive the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Okay? We can go way further than the Old Testament saints ever did. We can go way further. Why? Because we can get into the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We can move all the way into God as far as we want to go. As far as we want to push, we can go there. Verse 3, it says, "For I say through the grace given to me." Now, grace is one of those words we use, Christian terms, that sometimes we don't explain very well. You ever notice that? I'm purpose in my heart to make things simple for you guys. Because grace is one of those words that we use. It's in the Bible. It's a good word. But there's a serious understanding that comes from grace. And just for me to say that to you doesn't do anything for you, does it? Unless you truly have the understanding what grace is. What is grace? "For I say through the grace given to me," this is Paul saying this, "I say through the grace given unto me." I've heard grace spoken of in many different ways. Grace, the unmerited favor of God, all those things. Grace, achieving ability. See, grace is a law. That's probably the best way to look at it. And when grace was enacted for humanity, was when Christ decided to take our place. Christ took our place, and grace, the law, was enacted. It's a law. It acts the same way every time, all the time. It's not complicated. It's like the law of gravity. Gravity acts the same way every time, unless you can find a way to bend it. Okay? But once the machine that's bending gravity is done bending, guess what happens? It falls to the ground. Okay? So there's ways of going around it, but bottom line is, it still has a law. It's something you encounter acting the same way every time. Well, grace acts the same way every time too. It's a law. It's put into place by Christ when he died on the cross. It's a law. It's an effect, like gravity. It has a cause and effect. And what causes grace to move? What causes grace to move? Is faith. What causes faith to grow? Is grace. They're symbiotic. They work together. So as I get faith, which is another Christian word we use a lot, but has a deep understanding. So as I believe God, basically faith, I believe what he says, I have it truly rooted in my heart, it truly means something to me, it's something that moves beyond just what I think I understand, and it's something bigger than that. Faith will move stuff. What's grace do? Grace is what helps me to get the faith. Grace is what Christ enacted, the law that enacted, that allows me, just like I saw in my vision one time, when I went up to God and I saw the glory of God, the bigness of God, the greatness of God, the wonderfulness of God, and I wanted to walk up there and I said, and I felt like I needed to get on my face. I didn't have the ability to stand in the presence of God. And Christ got mad at me. Jesus, in this vision, He got mad at me. He lifted my head up and He said, "You look in His face. You'll stand proudly before Him. You'll stand in His presence without any condemnation, without any reason to believe that you're not capable. Why? Because Christ did it for me. I'm not standing there by myself. I'm standing arm in arm with Jesus Christ." And that's the grace that costs me. Grace is what gives me the ability to do that. It's a law He enacted when He died on the cross. And grace became something that we can grab a hold of. Just like gravity, I know if I jump, I'm going to fall. Grace is something that works every time for me. Because Christ is with me. It's His ability to help me make it through. It's His ability to get me over the top. It's His ability to help me understand His Word. It's His ability to get me where I need to be. It's His ability to take me all the way into the presence of God, face to face, sitting on the Father's lap, and I can do it unashamed because I know I just sinned, but I can do it unashamed because Christ's grace is working in me. Grace is not an excuse to keep sinning. Grace is the ability to get out of your sin. Grace doesn't give you the right to continue to do the wrong thing. Grace is what gives you the ability to overcome the wrong thing. Don't ever mix it up because God said we have a new nature. That new nature has the capacity, the ability to go all the way into where God is. Grace is what gives you that ability. It's the gas in your car. It makes you move. It gets you closer. It takes you further. It doesn't excuse our sin. We can step back into law if we want, but that doesn't step us into closer to God, does it? I can perform the Word of God, but it doesn't change me in the inside. Then what good is it? Because I'm going to get there and I'm going to be stripped of all my works. I'm going to stand before God. All the good things I did, all the great things I did, if they weren't done as a product of what God did in me to change my heart, then what good is it? It's no lasting thing in the kingdom of God. It doesn't last. For I say through the grace given to me that to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And this is really where I want to capitalize on. I talked on it a little bit. I touched on it a little bit. That word soberly, what does it mean? This is so critical for you to understand. The word soberly means something. The word grace means something in His Word. We have a new nature. But guess what? God wants us to think soberly. Why? Because just like Paul is writing, he said, through the grace given to me, I can tell you what I'm about to tell you. Because of the grace that was given to me, I'm going to tell you something. To everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. See, you've got to fix your mind on the fact that only God has the ability to tell you truly where you are. You could come and give me your complex issue. I could stand here and I could try to give you wisdom. And that would help you in much. It could help you. It could help you tremendously. God could use me. God could use Pastor Cook if you come and counsel with him. But ultimately, it's up to you. Because if we talk all day long about your problem, and you can't truly understand where you're at with God, what good have we done for you? The word soberly means to have a correct estimate of yourself. I don't know how else better to say it than that. To understand yourself according to the way God sees you. It doesn't mean you think lowly of yourself. It doesn't mean you think, because many people in this room have low self-esteems. You don't think you're good enough. But God says you are. Many people in this room are thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. It's not a good thing to do. Because that road leads to pride, which leads to a fall. And ultimately, if you just think you're all that and you're not, you know, it's easy to take the Bible, to study it, to read it, to build it in your intellect, even to begin to walk out the principles of it. But what truly changes me is when I get a revelation by faith in my new nature that carries it out long term. Like forever. Like it's fixed. Like it's an unmovable, unchangeable part of my nature now. See, we speak about God's love being a part of His nature. We do it kind of flippantly. But I'm telling you right now, His love is unmovable, unchangeable. It's fixed. It's permanent. It's a part of who He is. It will not change. Do you know God wants us to get to a place where love is that way for us as well? Where it's not something we're thinking about doing. It's not, I have to process this and figure out which way to go. It's a part of who I am. It's a very intricate part of my nature. It's fixed. It's lodged. It's unmovable. It's not changeable. See, God's love has the ability to do that. His nature can get into us fully and completely. We're not lacking anything. But what has to happen is we have to have the correct estimate of who and where we are. If we don't understand where we're at, how can God take us where He wants us to go? If I talk to you and I say, you know what, John, Pastor Cook, I understand you have this problem, okay? I understand it. This is what you need to do, A, B, C, D. And if you do not see the solution, but you only see the problem, you'll never do A, B, C, D. You know that? How many times have you counseled with people, you tell them exactly what they need to do, and they go out of the room and they don't do it? How many times? Like, a lot. How many times has God told me to do something and I walked out of the room and I did a completely opposite thing of what He told me to do? I mean, they can't get no better counsel than God, can you? Because we have to have the right understanding of where we're at. Our current position. It's like a GPS, you know? We got to know where we're at if we want to know where we're going. Right? If I'm not fixed at where I'm at, and the only way to get that fixed position of where you're at in your life is through God. Because He's the only one that knows you inside and out. He's the only one that knows you completely. He's the only one that truly knows you 100%. He knows your downfalls. He knows your good parts. He knows the secret parts of your heart. He knows the things that are just out there. Everybody knows. He knows your most deep desires. And He also knows the desires that are right of Him and the ones that are not. You got to get fixed where you're supposed to be. For God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So grace brings a measure. What's the measure of faith give us? It gives us the ability. The grace gives us the ability. That measure of faith is exactly what we need at the point in time we're at. You know, for me, I'm just going to say, you know, just for me or for anyone, a measure of faith might be I need the ability to be nice to someone. One time in my life. I'm just mean. You know what I mean? I'm not saying me. I'm speaking hypothetically. I hope I'm not that mean. For another person or another time, I might need to just get out of bed for an hour early. So I need a measure of faith for that. That's where I'm at. Why? Because God wants me to spend some time in His Word in the morning. I need a measure of faith for that. Okay? That's where I'm at. I'm fixed in that. That's what I need. That's what I got to do. That's my thing. God help me. Okay? So He'll help me in that. You know, Paul's measure was probably different than the people he was writing to. Why? Because he operated within the faith that he had. He operated where he was at, where he was fixed, where he was connected to the GPS satellite system. We need to know where God has us at. We can't move if we don't truly understand where He's at, where we're at. The only way to know that is to listen to God. Now, that doesn't mean you can't listen to other people too, but be careful in doing that, because other people see things that aren't truly what we need to be working on right now. You know, I'm sure people see in me the things that are really ugly that I don't even have any idea about. Do you know that? They can probably just lay it out. Do. And I go, wow, I didn't even know that. Thanks for letting me know. Now I have something else to think about. But it's not a bad thing. But I'm just saying that might not be what God has me working on today. So even if somebody says something to me, my wife or my kids say something to me, I need to take it back to God and say, God, what do you have for me today? Where do you want me to be? Where am I at? Where am I fixed? Where is my GPS satellite location? Where am I going? It's important to understand where you're at. That's what that verse is saying. Be sober-minded. Have the correct estimate of who and where you're at. Only you can do that. You know, I think that there are certain principles that are foundational in building blocks. I think the four things I talked about are four quadrants that, you know, let's look at it like this. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. God's going to have us bounce around in all these in this middle section somewhere, right? And sometimes I'm going to understand more, God, I have a new nature. Other times, God, the Holy Spirit, an understanding by the Holy Spirit is just going to come in and flood me. And I'm going to get that part. Sometimes I just need to walk in love a little bit bigger. Sometimes I just need to lay down everybody else serving me, and I need to pick up the loincloth, and I need to serve and wait on other people. Okay? But what's the key to hearing all that? What's the key to hearing where you're at? How do you know where you're at? Well, we know grace is a big part of it. We have to understand that grace is what gets us there. But let's even go further back. What's at the foundation of even getting that understanding? Go to Mark 4. In verse 13. It says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Do you understand that the parables were as God explaining himself to a bunch of law people that didn't have the capacity to hear it? He says, I'll speak in parables now, but there will come a time when I'll speak face to face. Okay? So when he says, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of them. He's talking about something pretty root, foundational, ground floor, can't get any lower than that, right? I mean, would we all agree that when Jesus says, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of them? Pretty key we get this understanding, right? Wouldn't you say? Well, they didn't get it. But he said it anyway, for our benefit. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word. What's the repeated phrase in that whole section there? Those that hear the word. Which to me indicates that it's our responsibility to hear. Those that hear the word is repeated in every single step. Some won't hear it. Some will hear it and endure for a while. Others will hear it and then life's problems will take them out. And then there will be some that hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. The key to receiving God, period, is hearing the word of God. And you know what? God can't do that for you. I'm firmly convinced that God cannot do that for you. I'm 100% fixed on the fact that God cannot help you in that area. Doesn't mean He can't help you to understand the word, but when it comes to hearing, it's up to you. When it comes to hearing, it's up to you. Now, there may be a problem where you're deaf or something like that, and God has to come in with grace in that area. Or you might have a problem where, you know, you just don't comprehend it like it. But like I said, the Word of God's pretty simple. He didn't make it tough so anybody could receive it. In fact, Jesus said that I'm going to take the wisdom of this world and count it as nothing. And I'm going to take the base things of the world. That means the base, that means the lowest, the possible, lowest possible common denominator, the base things of the world to confound the wise. Why? Because everybody has the ability to hear if they'll listen. And if you don't have the ability to hear, God will give you the ability to hear if you want to hear. It comes back to where your desires are at. What do you want? What do you want? The key to understanding God's word is hearing it. That's at the foundation of everything. You got to hear the word. You got to hear the word. If you don't hear it, then you won't receive it. Just like what I was talking about. Pastor Cook can talk right in your face and tell you exactly what you need. He can tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are the steps you need to take. It'll take right out of where you're at. But unless you hear what he's saying, you're not going to get it. Some of us, we go and we want, God, help us, help us, help us. But we don't want to hear what he has to say. I'm in this problem. I got all these issues. Oh my gosh. But we don't want to hear what he has to say. He's telling us things. And the reason God quits talking to us is because we're not listening. Because we're not doing this. Three things that we got to do. Hear the word. Hear the word. Hear the word. We don't even get the ability to get choked out by the cares of the world if we don't hear. We got to hear. Verse 21, also he said to them, is a lamp brought to put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it shall shall come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. So I would contest if you have a problem with God, you probably have a hearing problem. Because we can't even go to doing until you got the hearing part down. Now, I would say this church, we don't have a hearing problem. We have a doing problem. I mean, I'm speaking for myself. I'm not even saying you as general, but I'm a leader in this church, and I can tell you right now, I don't have a hearing problem. I got a doing problem. But I can't even go to do if I can't hear God. I mean, I couldn't even give you a message this morning if I can't hear God. I can't do the Word of God if I can't hear God. Right? It's just like what I was saying. I was very unclear, and I'd rather just not do nothing if I can't hear God. I'll just stand and sit and do nothing. We need to do the Word of God more. But we also need to be keen on listening to what God's telling us. For the bottom line is, if we don't hear, we can't do. And to operate inside the quadrants of those four pillars, we got to hear, And we got to put action. Because God will move inside that box. He'll move inside there. He'll do a lot of things. He can do amazing things. He can do wonderful things to draw out the nature that He's deposited in us. He can do wonderful things to move in the Holy Spirit and to see the gifts of the Spirit move more wonderfully. He can do even wonderful things to see us walk in more love with our brothers and sisters. He can even lay down a foundation that we will begin to serve in a greater capacity. That we'll be able to have the capacity to serve at realms we never even dreamed of. To serve people in a way that just seems impossible at the time. To meet the needs of people in every area of their life and facet. God will give us the ability to move inside that box. But we have got to hear God. And we've got to begin to do the things He's telling us to do. And that's as much for me today as it is for you. I got to do more. That doesn't mean I do more with my time. It means I do more with the time I've got. God will give us back time. He'll redeem it to us. He'll give us the ability. But until we hear God's Word and we get fixed exactly on the GPS position we're supposed to be, we'll never move where God wants us to go, collectively as a group and individually as people. Because each of us, each person in this room provides some part. Each person in this room provides some part of the piece of the puzzle. You've got to understand, God wants to move us. He wants to take us in places, individually, corporately, as a group. But we've got to be willing to move. For I say through the grace, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, each one of you, a measure of faith. For as we have many members in this body, in this one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us individually, let us use them. Corporately, let's use them. And individually. If prophecy, let us prophesy. If in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives, give with liberality. And that means if you got the ability to give, give. Give liberally. Liberally. If you got the ability to give, give liberally. Because that's the gift God gave you for the body of Christ. Give it liberally. But if you got the ability to teach, teach. See, my gut wanted to say, Pastor, I don't want to teach this Sunday. I'll be honest with you. But that's wrong. Because I got the ability to teach. If I got the ability to teach, then if Pastor asked me, then my first inclination should be, yes, amen, I'll do it. If God's called me to do something, why would I not do it? Why would I lay it down? Why would I not use it? I've got to do it. You've got to do your part. For some of you, it's giving. For some of you, it's exhorting or giving encouragement to people. That's your gift. Use it. If you've got the ability to lead, lead. If you have the ability to show mercy, show mercy. And we all should do that. And if you really think about these verses, they talk about the gifts that we have in the body of Christ. There's a pretty good correlation to another part of the Bible, but mercy is something that we're all required to show. That's not something that's a special thing. That's everybody's required to do that. We all should be showing mercy. But do it with cheerfulness. Don't do it grudgingly. Oh my gosh, I got to cover them again. They screwed up. That's not showing mercy. But if you lead, you better lead with diligence. But God's given us the ability, you guys. He's given us the capacity. He's given us the tools. He's given us the things we need to do. We need to do them individually, corporately. But most importantly, we need to know where we're at so we can hear God's word for today, what I need to do. Get fixed where you're supposed to be. Set yourself there. Get planted. Move not from where God puts you. Hear God's word so that you can change and you can move inside the realm of those four pillars and you can do great things for the kingdom of God. Not only corporately or universally, but here, right here in this church. We need people to do things. We need people to step into their gifts. We need people to step up to the plate. I mean, if we want this church to grow, we're going to have to start doing things more together. Individually, corporately. I believe Pastor's got a very big heart right now. I mean, I'm listening to him a lot. I don't think he understands completely all of it, honestly. But he's got a big heart to see this church grow. He wants to do things. I've never seen Pastor more excited about church growth than I have in the last 6 months. He wants to see his church grow. Why? Not so that we can call numbers in. Not so we've got the word. Why would we want to hold it to ourselves and not give it? There's people out there, I don't care if they're disenfranchised, church members from somewhere, they're not going to church anymore. I don't care if there's people out there, they're not saved. They need to get saved and come to church because what we have is going to help them. I don't know how to do it, and I don't even honestly think Pastor completely knows. I'm honest with you. I think he's seeing it. God's giving it to him in glimpses. But we got to be patient and let God give it to Pastor. And in the end, we will grow as a church. But what we can do where we're at now, each of us individually, is help, serve, get involved, give mercy where mercy is due, lead if you're a leader, move if you're a mover, shake if you're a shaker, do what you do. But do it in the ability that God's given you and the measure of faith. We've got the Word of God. We don't have to be flakes. We don't have to give a reproach to the gospel. We don't have to be weird. We got the Word of God. It's in us. We've got the Word. I don't know how to express it any more clear. We've got the Word. I'm founded on that principle. We got the Word. There's nothing weird about the gospel that God's showing me. There's nothing weird about what God's preaching from this altar. There's nothing weird or strange. We got the Word. It has the capacity to change people, to move people where God is. Wouldn't God want to glorify that? Wouldn't He want to raise that up on an altar and say, this is the Word of God? Yes, He does. But it requires us individually and corporately to do something. Amen. We got to do it. We got to do it. If we don't do it, nobody will. If we don't do it, nobody will. If I don't do it, nobody will. If I don't lead, nobody's going to lead. If I don't teach, nobody's going to teach. Because God's given me the ability to do it, I got to do it. What if somebody doesn't step up, John? Well, guess what? You step up. Amen. Let God give increase. Right. We got to get the mindset that if we don't do it, no one will do it. God certainly can bring some other people in. He can get other teachers. But why would He want to do that when He's got us here? There's other towns and other cities that need reaching, right? Amen. There's other parts of the world that need reaching. There's other parts of the world that need to be touched by God. If He's got somebody over there, why would He need to bring them here when we got the Word? Amen. Amen. We got the Word. Do we not have the Word? Amen. We got the Word. We don't doubt that, do we? Do we doubt we have the Word? We got the Word. We need to step into who we are. Get located exactly where God's got us. Let Him begin to give us a measure that's for us. And if we will step up, God can do great things. I got to step up. I mean, I'm on the line here. I got to step up. I hope I can do it. I'm scared tomorrow I won't step up. But God, I cannot stop. I'm not going to be happy unless I begin to step up. I mean, I'm miserable if I don't step up. Are you miserable? If you don't step up, step up. I mean, I don't want to live a miserable life. I can go to heaven and say, God, I wish I'd have stepped up. You had to use somebody else in my place because I wouldn't step up. He called him from Zimbabwe. Because John Shearer in Tacoma, Washington, wouldn't step up. We got to step up. We got to step up. But we can do it within the realm of what God's Word is. We can do it understanding what love is all about. We can step up with grace and dignity and honor and character because we got the Word. We can step up and move way outside of our natural abilities, and we can do it knowing that God's got us exactly where we need to be. Because we can get located exactly where we're at in God's eyes and listen. Because we can hear. And because we can hear, we can do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I preached to myself today. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to be flat honest with you. I'm scared. I'm scared I won't do it. Because I've made commitments to God time and time again. I don't know how about you, but I've committed to God a few times to step up. I'm scared I won't do it. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just going to be flat honest. I'm scared tomorrow I'll step into tomorrow or even an hour from now and I won't do it. I mean, there's a few things God's fixed in my heart I'm not moving off of. One of those things is, I'm not leaving this church. Amen. As much as I want to sometimes and I hate people, I'm not leaving.
Amen. Amen.
I'm stuck. I really am. I mean, I am stuck because I know if I do that, I would be out of God's will.
Amen.
I'm not moving until Pastor Jan Butler himself kicks me out the door. Get out of here. Bottom line, I'm fixed. But I need to be fixed on other things in my life too. Not just that. I mean, I don't care if there's 10 people here. I already committed to pastor. I guess we'll hand each other the keys and we'll hand them out as we're foreclosing on this building. I'm not leaving. I'm walking hand in hand with you. We're walking out together.
Amen.
He's going to have to leave me before I leave him.
Amen.
Bottom line. I don't think he's going to do that. Because he's committed to the vision of this church. I mean, that's tough to go out on the line and say that, isn't it? That's a pretty bold statement to say in front of this whole church, isn't it? But I know where my heart is fixed. And I've had to wrestle with my heart time and time again over the course of many years. Am I fixed here or not? Am I committed or not? Some of you guys might be right there. That's the commitment you got to get to. Bottom line, you got to decide. You need to get fixed there. Others, you need to get fixed on just doing what God's told you to do in your prayer closet. You need to get fixed wherever God has you to be. But you got to get the GPS satellite out and figure out exactly where you're at and what you need to do today. Because I guarantee you there are people in this room that are contemplating leaving this church. You better decide. Get fixed. But you better know, when you move, you're moving for the right reasons and not the wrong ones.
Amen.
Because you'll move right out of the will of God.
Amen.
But if it's right, you should move. But if it's not right, you shouldn't move. There are other people that are contemplating just not going to church anymore at all. You just don't even know where you're supposed to be. You don't know exactly what you're supposed to do. You're not fixed at all in Christ. There are other people that have grudges or issues with people in this body. And you haven't fixed your heart in love towards them. There are other people that just basically have huge needs in their life financially. And you haven't fixed yourself on exactly what God wants you to do. See, there's complications in every one of our lives. We're all going through different things. I guess that's my point. But only God can truly help you. Only God can truly help you. So what I want to do is I want everyone to close their eyes. And I want you to think. I'm going to pray, God, right now, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, come in here and help fix us. Yes. Fix us where we're at. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that every single person in here today, Father God, understand exactly where they're at with you. And Father God, they believe where they're at and they trust where they're at and they understand where they're at. Father God, they get fully committed to where they're at so that they can begin to move where you want them to go. Father, it's complicated. All the issues that affect us are complicated. Father God, I think you have the ability to simplify everything and bring it right down to the brass tacks of what the issue is. And Father God, I pray right now that every single person in this body, as they're closing their eyes, and we just sit for just a few minutes in quiet, that they'll think about where you're at with them. And they'll get fixed, set. Father God, they'll get committed to where they're at so that you can begin to show them. You know, where you're at might not be good, but God has to show you where you're at so you can move. So as we just sit here quietly, I just want you to think. Think about God. Think about Him. Think about the Holy Spirit, because He's going to give you that place. Hallelujah. All right. Now, if you want to move like me, do better. And I'm scared of it. I'm scared of the commitment. Because I made it before and I failed. I don't want to fail again. But I'm fixed. I know where I'm at. I know what I need to do. So if you want to make changes like I do, I want you to confess after me. Father, right now we come to you with the desire to grow. To move, to do better, to know your word, to express your word, to love, to serve, to be kind, to do all the things you've called us. Every single thing you've got for my life, I want to do it. In Jesus' name, help me become the person you have called me to be. The good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. As we desire it, Father, you show us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we dismiss, I want to know if there's anyone here that has not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Now is the time to do it, and this is the place. Hallelujah. If you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask that you come on up here. And we have people that will go with you and lead you in prayer and the things you need to do. Also, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, also the same. Anyone wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do that right now. Praise God. We'll wait just a couple of seconds here. Anybody that wants to move in that direction, come on this morning. Praise the Lord. We don't want to close the service without giving you that privilege to do that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we have service tonight at 6:30. God's given me a good message on being steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. So that's what we'll be speaking about tonight. Father, we thank you for these precious people. We thank you for the word of God that's gone forth this morning. Father, may it remain in every heart here that we remember and think about it this week, Lord, and that we respond to the word, because the word is life to us spiritually and mentally, and we need more of it. Thank you, Jesus. Now bless these people as they go. Keep them safe in Jesus' name. Amen.